Well, good morning, church. It's great to be with the church this morning. It's great to be an honor to be able to do the lesson this morning. Today, we are going to talk about sheep. Sheep is the subject. And if we look at my slides here, I was reading a book about actually eldership in the church. And I realized it uses the metaphor of sheep a lot. And I thought, wow, let's talk about sheep. I mean, how often do you get to hear about sheep, right? We have this. So the title of our lesson today is Brave Sheep and Courageous Shepherds. And there's a nice picture of a shepherd carrying one of the lambs. On the first slide, let's talk about sheep metaphors 101. I didn't have to, but because we kind of know the main sheep passages, but I decided I would go through the Bible and find all of the sheep metaphors. Of course, the sheep and shepherd are used quite a bit, just simply meaning sheep and shepherd. They're not metaphors, but there's often the case where they are used as a metaphor. I found 65 references altogether, starting from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And most of them have form of God being the shepherd, or Jesus being the shepherd, and we being the sheep. Some of them are different from that. There's one in Song of Songs where the sheep are like the teeth of your bride. So that's interesting. I also found that the word that we have for pastor comes from the Latin, first of all, to graze, and then it turned into the word for shepherd. And so I found that very interesting, that word that we have both for pastor, like a pastor where the animals go out to graze, as well as pastor of a church. Both have their origins in sheep. If we go to the next slide. The thing that I kept on thinking about is sheep seem to be dumb. They don't seem to be very smart. I mean, whenever you hear about sheep, it's usually something that they did which seemed totally opposite of trying to survive on their own. And if you compare them to other wildlife, like even their distant relative, bighorn sheep, they can't survive on their own. They need everything from us. They need a shepherd to take them to graze, to bring them to the water, to protect them from predators like wolves. They're completely helpless. And I thought, I'm not sure if I want to be the sheep in a sheep shepherd metaphor. I mean, I thought, you know, what if God had used the falcon? That would be great. You have the falconer. God is the falconer, the one who trains the falcon and holds it on his arm. And then the falcon goes out and grabs prey. It comes back, and you know, that would be a cool. Or how about God is the master, and we're the dog, or we're the cat. I mean, dogs aren't so smart either, but I don't know, they seem more interesting than sheep, right? But clearly the Bible had a good reason for why it uses this metaphor of God being our shepherd and we being sheep. The reason why they seem dumb is because typically we're comparing them to a survival standpoint. We compare them to other types of wildlife, but we know that sheep have been domesticated over thousands of years by humans. And over the thousands of years, shepherds have chosen sheep for particular purposes. One of them, of course, is to produce lots of wool. But the other one is for them to be entirely reliant on the shepherd. At some point, people saw that it was useful to not have to chase after animals for either their hide or their food or what have you. And so to become from an agricultural standpoint, to corral the animals and keep them together so that we don't have to go out and chase after them. And so that's what we've done with sheep, to the point where they rely entirely on us. But they're not dumb. They're very smart. And we're probably aware of the different metaphors in the Bible, but part of the intelligence of sheep as they've been domesticated has been to recognizing humans, that they can totally tell one shepherd's voice from another shepherd's voice, that they can tell a shepherd's look, their face, to from a different shepherd or from someone who's not a shepherd. And so that's not very useful for a bighorn sheep in the wild, but it's very useful for humans with sheep, that they can follow the shepherd, and they can follow just the right shepherd that they need to. And so God shows this metaphor to use the most in the Bible of all the other metaphors that are used. The most used metaphor is this one of the sheep and the shepherd. And God shows it specifically because of how sheep have been domesticated and how they're different from other wildlife. And I started thinking how if it's the shepherd and humans that have changed and domesticated the sheep, then it's God who has changed and so-called domesticated humans. He created humans to be just what he wanted them to be. If we go to the next slide, so we're created to be sheep. And let's go ahead and read Psalm chapter 23. This is from the New King James Version, Psalm 23, verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and staff, they comfort me." That's just a great passage, right? And if you think about just how a shepherd provides all the needs for the sheep, it takes them to the green pasture so they can eat. It takes them beside still water so they can drink. They guard them from predators like wolves. And God created us to be reliant on him. And so if we are created that way, then that's how God meant it to be. He meant us to be reliant on him. And I think sometimes we think it's kind of a weakness to be reliant on somebody else, or totally reliant on somebody else. We feel like that God just kind of puts up with us. He, he would rather us be shepherds or be, you know, more like wildlife where we could survive on our own. But, if that's the way we are, then I guess he'll stick around and be the shepherd for us. But it's not that. It's not that way at all. God created us to be like sheep. And that's why he uses this analogy so much. I think about me growing up. I think a lot of you maybe know my background, kind of being a latchkey kid. And I was kind of reared to be an independent person from a very young age. I was emancipated at the age of 15, that had to do with my parents' divorce and everything, but I was able to go before a judge and show that I was reliant enough to be emancipated. And I also had a childhood friend whose brother was kind of a survivalist and kind of a tough guy. And if there's any toughness to my character, it came from this gentleman. His name was Brent. And, you know, his father, Brent's father, and my friend's father, and their upbringing had to do with survival. They had this pelt of this mountain lion on their wall that he had shot right outside their house up here in Monument. And everything was about being independent and not relying on other people. And also not showing any weakness. I remember one time we were playing football and Brent threw me the ball and he threw it kind of hard to me and it stung my hand. So when we went back to the next play in the huddle, I was like, hey, you threw the ball too hard. That hurt my hand. And he just railed on me. He said he's going to throw the ball even harder the next time. And that I should not complain and whine about the ball being thrown too hard and things like that. So it was all about being tough and not showing any weakness and not being reliant on anybody else. I don't think it's just me who's that way. I think we all have this desire, this feeling that we should not be reliant on other people. Not more than we need to be. And we even grapple with that with God. We think that that God, like I was saying earlier, just puts up with us. If we look over in John chapter 10, let's turn there. This is one of the biggest sheep shepherd and metaphors in the New Testament. And it's Jesus talking to the Pharisees in John chapter 10, verse 1. It's very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep out by name and leads them. When he has brought them all out on his own, he goes ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They'll never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them, which is the case a lot with Jesus, right? When he would say things to his apostles or the Pharisees, people, sometimes it was kind of over their head. They had to think about it for a while. But here, Jesus uses this Pharisee, metaphor, and Jesus says that he's the shepherd, that he's even the gate that the sheep go through, and that the Pharisees are not. The Pharisees who were trying to lead God's people and were trying to keep them from sinning, trying to keep them from breaking any of God's commandments, it got so hard for Israel all the time over their history. When the people strayed away from God, they would get exiled, they would get plagues, they would get killed from their enemies, their crops would fail. All these were sort of corporate, nationwide things for their sin, consequences for their sin. And so the Pharisees, at least in the beginning, in the right heart, were trying to keep the entire nation following God's laws and not breaking God's laws. It's probably a better way of saying it. And Jesus is saying, that's not going to be that way anymore, if it ever was. I am the shepherd. I am the gate. The sheep are going to listen to me. They don't listen to you. And if you try to go back in and try to grab some of these sheep from me, you're actually the robber now. And maybe that's why the Pharisees didn't understand him, because if they had the understanding, they didn't want to understand him because maybe they realized he's talking about us. So this passage is great. Again, if you go back to thinking about how God created us to be sheep, God created us with these needs. God created us all the way back in the garden with Adam and Eve being put in the garden and having all this food around them, fruit, and not needing any clothes and being totally protected by God, not worrying about being eaten by other animals or anything. They were totally reliant on God. When they ate from the fruit, it didn't make them any less reliant on God. They still had the same reliance on God. In fact, it was kind of a slap in the face to God, saying, "We want to be the shepherd. We don't want to be the sheep. We can take care of ourselves." And that defiance is still in our character all the way up until the present times. Think about how, as disciples, we feel like we should be over sin by now. Because if you think about people who are in the world, they don't even know God, or they don't know the right God, and they wander around. They try to make other things God. Maybe it's wealth. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's their job or their career. They try to make other things God because we have this need as sheep to have a shepherd. As disciples, we know that God is our shepherd, that God is the one that we should rely on. And yet we feel like, maybe as young Christians that we were repenting of certain sins, but now if we're a few years older or decades older, we should be over sin by now. And I'm not saying we shouldn't repent or anything, but we also shouldn't lose sight on this idea that God created us to need forgiveness. God created us to need his security, to find security in him. If you think that you're being a mature disciple by being more reliant on yourself or not reliant on God, that's the wrong direction. God wants us to be secure in the flock. He doesn't want us to run off. He doesn't want us to defend ourselves against the wolf. Just as a sheep would not be a good match for a wolf. He wants to be that person. And that's why a lot of times being a disciple really is letting go and trusting God. Something I have a lot of difficulty with. Also, as we mature as disciples, as we get maybe decades old, we think that we should be the shepherds. In fact, that God wants us to be the shepherd. We think about the scripture, like in Hebrews 5, about not needing, and Hebrews 6, not needing any milk anymore. Certainly, God wants us to mature. He wants us to be better disciples. But what that really means is being more and more reliant on him. Not the opposite direction, less and less reliant on him. And that seems contradictory at sometimes, but you have to remember that God is our shepherd. I think at every point in our life, we need to look at, try to see how is God guiding us? How is he trying to help us? A lot of times we cry out for help. Maybe we find ourselves away from the flock. We cry out for help. Well, the help is to get back to the flock. The help is to go with God. The help is to allow God to put us on his shoulders and to go back and to be with God. If we look at the next verse, he also did create us to be shepherds. Not shepherds of ourselves, though. Like I was saying, I spent a lot of time in the last few minutes talking about how we need to be relying on God. Nevertheless, God does help us with, he wants us to help other sheep. If we look over in 1 Peter 5, he even uses this interesting term about him being the chief shepherd. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. It says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing. God wants you to be, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that will never fade away. This passage is talking specifically about elders, but I think we'll see that as sheep, we all have other sheep to shepherd. Whether it be you're a parent and you're caring for your kids, or you're a full-time ministry staff caring for a church, or maybe you're a volunteer Bible talk leader caring for your Bible talk, or maybe you're just a friend to somebody. We all are shepherds in some way. Shepherds, we're always a sheep to God, but we can take on responsibility and be shepherds to some other sheep. One of the things I noticed when I was reading this book about the eldership, it talked about different roles that God has assigned in the church, that God has created in the church. We can think of things like teachers, evangelists, administrators, and of course, elders or deacons. He's created all these roles, and all of those roles have what I refer to as the pastoral element. That's the element that of caring for people, being there for people, meeting people's needs. If they have a death in the family, if they have a sickness, if they have a difficult time that they're going through in their life, maybe they lost their job. Of course, this year with COVID, those types of circumstances abound. But that all of those roles in the church have other elements as well. You think about an evangelist, I just referenced that scripture, 2 Timothy 4, 5. It talks about discharging the duties of your ministry and doing the work of an evangelist. So evangelists help disciples to evangelize. They certainly have a pastoral aspect. They certainly care for the flock. But they also have this other important role of trying to help us to be able to make disciples. In Titus 1:9, I just referenced that, one of the elders' chief roles, one of the roles that distinguishes it from other types of roles, like evangelists, for instance, is that they are to refute false doctrine. And the metaphor that it uses there is about protecting the flock from wolves, and wolves being the people out there. There's lots of people out there who are twisted, who are warped. They can even be in the church. They can certainly be out of the church. And they twist the scriptures, and they make them say things that they don't, or they emphasize certain verses and not emphasize other verses. And that one of the chief roles, at least of the elder, is to refute that false doctrine. And as a shepherd of the flock, they certainly have a pastoral aspect. And sometimes we think of elders as only having a pastoral aspect, that they are the great pastor of caring for people. But actually, their main job is to refute false doctrine. So God created us to be shepherds as well. Shepherding other people. And that's one of the things as we mature as Christians, that we can start looking out for other sheep. I guess you can call that a little bit of sheep self-sufficiency. It's still relying on God. You're still in the flock. God is still bringing you, the whole flock, to the pastures. He's still bringing us to the water. He's still protecting us from the wolves. But we have a few sheep that we can look over and we can try to help as well. We certainly wouldn't want to take that little group of sheep off and outside of the flock. That would be pointless. As I get to the end of this lesson, the next slide talks about sheep, not sheeple. Sheeple is a term that I've heard recently. It is a funny kind of an internet meme talking about how people can follow other people just blindly. Like they'll follow certain things on Facebook, for instance, it might be like an echo chamber or something. People definitely have a tendency to follow other people, and often blindly, often just not thinking at all about what they're doing or anything, but just following the herd, and that would cause them to be sheeple. But sheep follow God with intent. They're not just there in the flock because the other sheep are there. They're there because God, the shepherd, is there. And they follow God. If God moves on, even if the flock stays behind, you would leave the flock and follow God. And hopefully that wouldn't happen. Hopefully the whole flock would follow God. But what I mean by intent is that as Christians, we learn more and more about God's voice. We learn more and more about the shepherd's ways. And we follow God that way. We follow the shepherd, not just blindly, but we follow him because we understand his voice. And his voice often can be considered the Bible. We start to learn the Bible. It's a very great thing to do as a disciple, is to get into the Bible. I'm always trying to help other disciples, other sheep, to learn more about God's voice and learn more about God's ways, and to understand how to apply, like Matt was talking about, how to apply things that were said so long ago, but to apply them to current times. If we look over in Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 17, you guys can turn there in your homes. It says, "Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. That would be of no benefit to you. And so that's why I put there, be a good sheep. That's what it means to be a good sheep. And to distinguish it from a sheeple, you know, I don't want people just to follow some other person blindly, but they would follow another person because they recognize that person is following God. They know that person is following God. And they also know what it means to follow God and what God would say and what God wouldn't say. So they're not sheeple, but you're being a good sheep by continuing to be reliant on God for everything, and recognizing your need that God has created in you for other people and for relationships, and to be able to follow people intently, follow the right people, and to know the voice of God through those people. You definitely want to mature and shepherd, you know, as many sheep as you can. That's a good goal to have, you know, to lead a Bible talk, or maybe even go into the full-time ministry, or become an elder, or become a deacon. You don't graduate. You never graduate from being a sheep to being a shepherd. You will always be a sheep. You will always have this need for God. And as I said earlier, maturing in God means getting more and more into the flock, like going to the center of the flock, following God wherever he goes. Not relying on yourself. And even as you shepherd other people, even as you grow in being a better sheep, you will always be a sheep. And really, it's kind of contradictory, but maturing as a sheep means not going off on your own and being able to get food on your own or get water on your own or protect yourself. But it means even being more and more reliant on the shepherd, who is God. The next slide is there for reference. Maybe we'll also put this out on the church website or something. But these are all the metaphorical references that I was able to find. And I also listed the 15 others. 50 of them metaphors were about the God being the shepherd and us being the sheep, but there's also these other 15 that have some slightly different metaphors, different slants to this metaphor of sheep and shepherd. But I hope we all have great days today and great weeks coming on. As Matt was talking about the new year coming, we hope and I pray that the year will be different. But if anything, I think this year has taught us how much we need to rely on God, how much we need to be good sheep, and how much we need to realize that God has created us this way. I think sometimes God even puts things in our life that will point out that we have strayed away from the flock and that we need to come back in. And if we try to stray further than that, God, it gets even colder. It gets even further away from the flock. And hopefully we will sometime realize that we need to go back and listen to the shepherd's voice. And I hope that you find comfort in knowing that the needs that you have, the fact that we are so fragile, as people and also as disciples, that is the way God created us. And I hope that we can learn what God's voice is and what God sounds like so that we will always follow him and not someone else. Thank you very much. Have great days.